Good morning and welcome. You're at the right place and you gather to worship the Lord and hear His word and be encouraged in the word and to encourage one another. Glad you've come and joined together, and it's a delight to continue to pray for the church and the Lord's leading, the Lord's will, and the patience of the church and waiting upon that. The Lord's taught us good patience in our waiting time. And it might just be after, you know, today's vote, you won't have to be persecuted by me any longer. You'll have some freedom. Pastor Allen, I heard him preach a message a while back on preach the word, and so every time I would see him after that, I would just say, preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. And then after that, maybe a month or so, he preached another sermon on praise the Lord. I said, now, what's it going to be? And so I would say, preach the word, and he would say, praise the Lord. So we had our greeting on one with another. We're glad you're here. Thankful for the time to worship the Lord. We're going back to the book of Titus again. I know we've been there since last year. December of last year, we introduced Titus. Actually, just one section in Titus. Titus chapter 2 is our location. Titus chapter 2. And way down in the chapter to verse 11. So Titus 2, verse 11, God had planted this man on an island ministry, and it was a rough ministry. And here's this great encouragement coming from the hand of the Lord through Paul to the preaching of the word, and we've kind of done a little detail down through Titus 2, beginning at verse 11, and I'm going to read at that point this morning, down through verse 15, and then we'll pick up our message down in verse 14. So I'm going to read here, Titus 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's all kinds of people and men, and that's what the first part of the chapter talks about. And we all say amen when you read that verse and think about the great grace of God brings salvation. It's appeared, and he uses the word appeared on purpose, reminding us that the grace of God is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, this very time we're living in as we read the scriptures. It's the way we are to continue to live. And always, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing, the one who appeared, verse 11, by the grace of God, the Lord Jesus Christ will indeed appear again. Glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify, make holy for himself, his own peculiar or his own special people, his own treasured people, zealous of good works. Now we're reminded that we're to speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority, and let no one despise you. Well, in our preaching down through there, we kind of got hung up, or maybe I'm the one that got hung up, there at the end of verse 14. And thinking of his own special people, zealous of good works. And so we pick up there and work on from that point this morning hour, that being his own special or treasured people, to be zealous of good works. And what God says with regard to his son, who died for us and in our place by his great mercy. He calls us. He's entitled us his own treasured people. Well, let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for the throne of grace. We thank you that you invited us to come and to come boldly and to ask with confidence regard to matters of this life. And this day we ask you if you would graciously by your Spirit take your word, work it into our lives, that we would work it out of our lives into daily living roundabout. As we kind of hear your word and we think about your word and we let it settle into our hearts and that it'll kind of get down into our feet and we'll be living it, walking it, going about with these truths of your word being that which directs our lives moment by moment. We count it a delight, Father, to pray with regard to matters of the church and that huge matter of before the church of voting this day with regard to the shepherd you have prepared that you would give each one the confidence and the wisdom with regard to the vote that they bring forth. But we thank you for your perfect will and your perfect timing, and we thank you indeed that you've allowed my wife and Barb and the Binkleys to have some days of ministry, and we just appreciate the church and its stand for your word here. Bless over it and strengthen it, and continue to make it what it is intended to be for your name's sake, and we pray in Christ's name. All right, we're at Titus here, and thinking about the local church made up of redeemed people, those bought by the blood of Christ, redeemed from sin, and that we should be pondering upon this thought right at the end of verse 14. We've worked our way down to that and kind of delved in each thought down through here. But he has purified for himself his own special people. They are what? What are they are a people to be zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. To be zealous, remember, is that of regarding a matter, an event, is to respond in an active way with regard to it. And that active way is by way of good works, whatever they are, by way of good works. It's to be enthusiastic. You know, zealous, enthusiastic about good works. I was thinking of that this week and able to give out one copy of the Gospel of John. You know, you can give out the scriptures with, like, here's something to read. Like, you're so excited about it, you're going to fall in a pile, you know. Or you can really give out, this is the Word of God. I've enjoyed reading this. In fact, I probably got a copy of Gospel of John. Usually have one around. You know, I've read this little book, and it is so precious, and I would like to encourage you to take it as a gift and to read it and have the joy of, you know, enthusiastic about the things of God. This word zealous is to be devoted to accomplishing, and in our particular word here, good works. It's got to be gung-ho. Let's go. Let's get it done. Let's carry forth on the good works with regard to what it is. Well, we've kind of pondered over that. Well, what is this good works that is brought out here? And we looked into it a few weeks back. I've complained to Earl. I said, Earl, you've been taking all the Sundays. You don't give me one here. And though our schedule is pretty well laid out, but glad I was here a month ago. I don't know if any of you remember that. You probably remember the message word for word. Well, a couple of words here and there anyway. But we talked with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ saying and putting before us that need of setting forth his word and his word ministry being that good work which we are to set forth and go forth with. Give me a moment, please. A man that we knew about 40 years ago, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as his Savior from sin, whom had contacted polio when he was in the military. He was actually preparing with regard to being in the Secret Service. But in a wheelchair, he got on a plane in Buffalo, New York, for the particularness of flying to Dallas, Texas, to witness to a man he'd been in the military with and had gotten to know many years before. His desire was to share with that man how he had come to Christ as Savior, what Christ was doing in his life, and desiring that man to consider Christ, whom to know is life eternal. So arriving there in Dallas and then a ways outside of town, he spent 2 days explaining to the man about the things of the Scriptures and knowing Christ, and an encouragement to read the Word of God, and gave him some locations to read and read the Scriptures to him, and traveled back home and had been home just a couple of days when he got a phone call from the man who was saying how much he appreciated the time. And my friend said, "Well, have you started reading any of the Scriptures?" And the man said, "Well, yeah, but you didn't tell me to start at the beginning, so I thought that was a good place. Start at the beginning, the book of Genesis." So the man said, "I couldn't argue with him. We read the Scriptures, and we have not any further information of the man came to Christ or not. We trust so." But I throw that illustration out, that real-life illustration, because I would say, was not that a good work? Was not that a good work? This man was zealous to go and to do that which the Lord had set forth in the Scriptures, doing it out of his love for the Lord and his desire for the things of the Word of God. A man by the name of Jesus was busy every day ministering to other people of various needs. You might remember in Mark chapter 5, showing some of the busyness of the Lord. It's just one section, of course, in the Gospels, reaccounting the zealousness of the Lord and his care for others. In that chapter in particular, we have a demon-possessed man out living among the tombs the Lord ministers to. We have a man whose daughter was at the point of death, and the Lord's care for her, bringing her back to life, and a woman with an issue of blood as Jesus traveled and used the time and the advice, the strength, the faith, the touching, the compassion. We would pause and say, well, was that not showing the zealousness of the Lord for good works? Were they not good works? Recall that Jesus' wonderful three-point evangelistic message of Luke chapter 15. We have the 99 sheep who are safely in the fold and the one that is lost. We have a coin that is lost and searched for. And we have a lost son who is found, comes home, and were they not always, or each one of them, a good work in the process of them as Jesus, out of love for the Father's word and for them, and as the Lord Jesus was glorifying the Father, and as he fulfilled the Scriptures with regard to them, dedication and zealousness, great help for them. Jesus' message of compassion upon a stranger, found in Luke 10. We call it often just the title, the Good Samaritan. that it's one stranger who helps another. Just because one is, we would believe, a believer in God. And was that not most definitely a good work that took place? We could call good works godly works. I think it would be proper and right to do that. Just call good works godly works. By what method can a good work be called a good work? How do we come about what it is? How do I know I'm doing a good work? Well, we believe that we are saved from sin and made believers in Jesus Christ for the purpose of being God's workmanship. I would remind you, as I do myself, of Ephesians and chapter 2 and verse 10. I remember the first time I heard Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 quoted to me and then read to me and then used to have it as words considering that I would consider with regard to coming to Christ as Savior. Remember them? For by grace you have what? Been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, but it's a gift of God. And it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. I thought so often on this, and I've often thought, well, over the years since then, I would go back to verse 1 of chapter 2, which gives a picture of who we are and why we need Christ as Savior. What God has said we are like and our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember out in verse 4, it says of chapter 2 of Titus, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love wherewith he loved us. When did he love us? Even when we were dead in trespasses. He's made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We are the display of God's glory by way of being purchased by the blood of Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But we must not stop there. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Many a times we might have memorized verse 8 and 9, but verse 10 must be hooked right onto it in that memorization, that location. And being reminded here that according to the Bible here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, sinners are saved to accomplish good and godly works. It's a purpose of God that believers be constantly involved in or doing or carrying on. It is our life. Good works. Not just, I did something nice on a particular day, and therefore I did my good works and so on. No, it is a lifestyle. It is a way of life. It is the way we are to live. These good works are in extreme contrast to Titus 2 and verse 2. One time we walked according to the course of this world. We lived according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. What a thankful people. We're a very thankful people for not only the redemption we have, but for God allowing us to follow along in a long train, we'll say, of believers down through the years. And some from years gone by, whom God has given a special ministry of being a theologian and the studies and the setting forth correctly of the things of the Word of God. Not that that individual is an authority that we look to the authority of the Word of God. But God has used some men and some women in some marvelous ways for setting forth the things of His Word. And one theologian, John Calvin, wrote many years back, quote, "It is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. We are not redeemed by faith plus works, but we are redeemed by faith, and that faith goes to work for the Lord." As Titus is teaching us, and as Ephesians is teaching us, and as the Bible is always our authority. Of course, James brings up that topic, though we're not looking there today. A good work is an activity of a saved person coming from a life motivated by the love of God. God's love placed in his heart, so that our desire to follow the Word of God is always that that brings glory to God. Good works are for the purpose of encouraging folks to consider the Lord, the Father. They're not to have folks to look at us and say, "Wow, that guy did a nice thing, nice job." The emphasis is always to away from us and upon Christ and who He is. So a good work is an activity of a saved person coming from the motive of the love of God placed in their heart, which aims in its ultimate end to glorify the Lord. Can someone remember easily 1 John 4:19? We love Him because what? First loved us, yeah. We love Him. We are able to love Him because Christ first loved us. It is God in a person, in you as a redeemed person. Being redeemed, you are the source from the love of God of carrying out the work of God. Let me repeat something a couple of times here. Think of a good work as an activity of a saved person taking place because of God's love in them, motivating them, and that God gets the praise. Many years back when we pastored in New York State, God allowed us in our early ministry to come across a doctor and his wife who had a dozen children. He was a country doctor. Really stopped being a doctor just a few years ago. And he's lying this day on his deathbed, I think kind of waiting for each of the kids to come home. He's got kids serving in missionaries in Chile and in Brazil and in Jordan, Ohio as a pastor's, and where else? What have I missed? Florida. Yeah, they're... And he'd gone out into the world to serve the Lord. But he would be a man who would be a living illustration of someone zealous of good works. I remember so many years ago when folks would say, "Oh, what's the doctor charging now for a doctor's visit? $5. Well, 20 years later, what's he charging now? $5. Unless you're a missionary or a pastor, nothing. I told him a little while back, we were able to stop and we were, and visit him in Western New York. And I said, "I remember many a time you gave me a good-sized shot in the hinder end for something, and and thankful for it with regard to his care, his good work out of the love of God, of doing what he did. I know he spent many a night in a car in his driveway witnessing and speaking to individuals of Christ. I know many a time I would call up at their home. He had a beautiful voice, and I would get through getting a message prepared, and I would call late in the week and say, could Doc sing tomorrow, Sunday or tomorrow, this particular song? And it all depended whether he was up all night, which he often was, or what the situation was, but always willing, if he was there and present, to do that out of the love for God, of presenting the things of the Word of God in song, and doing it as a testimony of out of the Word of God, zealous of good works. I'll have you look at Colossians chapter 1, if you would, please. Colossians 1, and think of verse 3 and on. I'm really headed down to verse 10 there, but Colossians, please. So you think of godly people we have known and realize that out of a life of love for the Word of God and of the God of the Bible, they have carried forth giving out the Word of God for the glory of God, being obedient to the Scriptures. So Colossians chapter 1, it's down in verse 3 where he says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Always wonderful when someone says that to us, someone sends us a card or someone on the phone says a text message, "We're praying for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also unto all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who has declared to us your love in the Spirit. So for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of him, or of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being faithful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And on goes the message. Faithful, fully pleasing him in every good work. That the believer, the local church, does is pleasing to the Lord, because the believer, the local church, is to be fruitful and bring forth good results by way of good works, pleasing unto the Lord. Good works are not a small nor insignificant part of your life individually, nor of this local church. Good works are a consistent, constant, living, godly in a crooked and perverse world, where you're to shine as lights for the glory of the Lord. Good works is not something done once in a while, some particular thing I do, food for someone or some money or whatever it might be. Good works is living godly day in and day out, come what is coming our way in life for the work of the Lord. In Titus 2:14, God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, for us. Why? Well, so as to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify, make holy for himself his own special people who are zealous for good works, who in God's love cannot hold themselves back from godly living, being obedient to the word of God. So the genuine believer in Jesus cannot and is not able, to be about the Lord's business of constantly living godly and setting forth godly works that draw attention and point the individual to the Heavenly Father. M.G. Easton wrote several books many, many years ago, wrote a very excellent Bible dictionary, M.G. Easton. And he gave in it this works. He says, works are good when, and he gives 3 points, which we've covered already today, though I haven't said point one, two, and three. Works are good when, number one, they spring from the principle of loving or love from and to God. God has loved us. We love him. They spring from that principle. Good works spring from the principle of love from and to God. Number two, they have the glory of God as their objective. They have the glory of God as their objective. It's not about us. It's always about the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, they have the revealed will of God. Of course, that's from the Word of God. But they have the revealed will of God as their only rule. The Word of God's the authority for carrying on the ministry we do. So good works are actions motivated by a person's love for God because of his love for them, which is the aim that God's glory, remember God's glory is that the glory sets forth the idea of the brightness for him to be seen. We want God to be seen. The light is not upon us but upon him because it's very, we're doing what we're doing according to the scriptures, the revealed word of God. Well, let's pull it together in these few words. Because redeemed people are zealous for God's glory, we desire to bring about good, godly works anywhere and in most any way that indeed is godly that we can. Good works most certainly can be acts of mercy. Good works certainly can be acts of charity, prayer, patience. Good works most certainly can be everyday activities that are set forth in a godly way, and certainly are not ungodly activities. Galatians 5 and 22 and 23 would set forth a picture by way of the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God and working in our hearts with regard to this. Good works are not that which are unusual in life. There is the good work of raising our kids as best we can to live godly, and our grandkids as well, to live on godly principles of the things of the Word of God, and to instruct and put into their lives all we can before they head out the door, go the way they are into the world, to live either for God or not to live for God, to accept or reject our words of the things of the Word that we have taught in love for the glory of God, that the Word of God would do the work of God in their lives. They will accept or reject and live the ways in which they live And we have done that which we should do, the ministry of good works. There is a good work of living godly in our neighborhood, loving our neighbors with God's love, as it is the will of God and as it is for His glory, as we point folks to Him and in His direction. There is a desire to strive to have a godly marriage. Good works. Full of loving sacrificially and not counting it some sort of, oh my, I got to live sacrificially. That's good work. The things of the Lord. To do good works zealously, go about each day doing what you do, expressing the love of God, for His glory to shine through in accordance to His will, that is, obedience to the Word of God, the Scriptures. John Wesley put it this way. I'm going to read through it once and then I'll go back to it again here. He wrote one time, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can ever can." So do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Good works, godly works, are done by believers in Jesus Christ, out of God's love for them, for the Father's glory, as they are obedient to the Scriptures, they zealously press on for the namesake of the Lord. For Him who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous good works. We encourage you to consider Him whom to know is life eternal. Consider Him who, for the joy that was put before Him, endured the cross, the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father on high. Consider Him this day. Follow forward with the joy of belonging to Christ by His grace. We'll pray together. Our Father, thank you that you use imperfect servants, for if you did not, you could use no one. But we thank you for using each one here of this church, each one making it up, each one genuinely redeemed by the blood of your Son. And we thank you for each one's desire, as Jesus did, going about doing good works, good things, because they will glorify you, the Father, and because they're being done according to the teaching of the Scriptures. As we thank you for each one here in this church building today, we thank you that we are able, by your mercy and grace and help, to do that which points others to Christ, as we live godly in the world that we're in. Pray for the church and your blessing here today as they take time in a few moments here to pray and to vote and to seek your will with regard to shepherd for the flock. We just thank you for what you have done with this local church and what you will do yet. And we'll give you the praise and the glory as we would set forth your name in this community. And we'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed, but it's